Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Off the Wall podcast here on Blog Talk Radio and then YesNetwork.com. It'll live there the rest of the day and for the rest of eternity, hopefully. If we're lucky, if YesNetwork.com stays for the rest of eternity, that would be pretty cool, you know. Hearing me wax poetic about the Rangers not making it out of the first round, that's on there. Hello? You know, after they go down 0-2 to the Capitals, and let's face it, it could have been 1-1 down there in Washington over those first two games. You know, it was Rick Nash hitting a crossbar behind Braden Holtby away from being a Rangers win. But they came back 0-2, and boy, did I give it to them. No power play. They looked listless. Lundqvist was the only thing worthwhile, along with Rick Nash, who I don't think had a point in the entire series. I'd have to look at that. I know he didn't have a goal. My partner, Joe Auriemma, getting on the captain, Ryan Callahan, and I almost gave myself a 2-week ban from doing the podcast because of my stupidity with the New York Rangers. As we welcome in our guest here, John McGrath.
Hey,
John,
Brent, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you? John is the executive director of Easter Seals New York and Coastal Fairfield County, Connecticut. John, before we get going, I had to get on my knees and beg forgiveness for all the Ranger fans out there, because after they went down 0-2 to the Capitals, I know you're a sports guy too, I was pretty much, and I bleed Ranger blue, so I was pretty much damn near thinking that they were going to get swept or at least lose in five. I didn't think there was any way the Rangers were going to win four games out of the remaining five after losing the first two. If you watched this team at any point during the regular season, I don't know how anybody could have thought that they were going to win four or five games against a Capitals team that had, you know, the top-ranked power play in the National Hockey League this year, and the Pittsburgh Penguins were second in power play this season. It just didn't make any sense to me. But I had to, before I welcome you in and we start talking about the Easter Seals, a charity that I'm very proud to say I'm a member of, I just had to get that out there and let Ranger fans know that the self-imposed 2-week ban, according to Joe Auriemma, my co-host, will not have to take place, and I can keep my sounding board here on the podcast, thank goodness.
It's a war in my house, Chris, because my wife's family are all Bostonians, and it's the worst intermarriage you can have as a New Yorker. And my Facebook page, you know, we haven't even gotten into preseason on football. It's being lit up with Sanchez jokes by my brother-in-law, who, by the way, is living down in D.C. And, I mean, you know, he should be a Capitals fan at this point.
Uh-huh.
And now it's like, I think we're going to have to, like, you know, like keep a line down the center of the bed for the Bruins Rangers fight now, because it's gonna get ugly in Bedford, and it's horrible.
See,
I'm just worried about my poor son. The fallout is one day I might come home and, you know, tucked under his bed, he could have a Boston cap, and then what am I gonna do? You know, then all the parenting and all the time, Chris, just you know, really goes out the window.
Yeah, but at that point, you know, you just take the Boston hat and you carefully file it under G for garbage, and you buy him a hat that's worthwhile to wear.
I guess you got to. But you hate to think of those things happening in your own household.
Yeah, I hear you. In my household, I have no worries because my wife hates sports and my two girls could care less. My one is 9 months. My one is 9 months old and she has no clue. And the other one's 4 years old and, you know, she'll come down and, who's that? Is that your team? Who is it? Who's the Whites? Who are the Blues? Who are the Whites? The Rangers are the Whites and whoever they were playing, the Maple Leafs at the time were the Blues. But that's how she says it. Who are the Yellows? Who are the Reds? She's funny. And then she says promptly, put Dora on. But anyway, we're not here to talk about Dora the Explorer. We're, or sports for that matter. We're here to talk something both near and dear to both of our hearts. And, you know, 3 years ago, I was asked by a friend of ours, a mutual friend of ours, Jason Finneke, to go to the Easter Seals Gala at New York State at the Yankee Stadium, the Easter Seals New York chapter, and host the live auction. And you know that invitation 3 years ago. And I'll be honest, I didn't know what Easter Seals was. And I'm going to ask you to just give us a brief description of it. But I'm going to tell you all what it was to me when I got to that gala that night and how I immediately wanted to become a part of Easter Seals. And it was because of the way it helps children with disabilities. And these kids that were up on a stage at Yankee Stadium, basically who, you know, before they went to these developmental schools that the Easter Seals funds, they didn't talk to other kids. They didn't look at other kids. They didn't have the motor skills that kids had. And then they were up there at 3, 4, 5 years of age, and they were singing at the top of their lungs, and they were talking, you know, kids that you would picture that wouldn't even come 100 feet away from a microphone were literally fighting to get on mic and talk to 500 people who were at the gala that night. And that moved my wife and I so much to see how much these developmental schools help these kids. And it's not the only thing that Easter Seals does. I don't want to, you know, put it into – I don't want to minimize what Easter Seals does, but it was that one part that really just lassoed my wife and I. And since that night, I've been hooked, and I love what we do for Easter Seals New York and Easter Seals across the country as well. And John, I just want you to tell people who've never heard of the Easter Seals, what, just give me a flat out description of what the Easter Seals is and what we do.
All right. Well, I'd love to. For those of you who are listening who don't know the other side of Chris and you just hear the sports side, Chris actually, you know, he's humble about how involved he is. Really, after 3 years, he won our highest award for a board member, the highest volunteerism that we get. So, I mean, Chris understands the organization probably as well as I do. And, you know, really, I can't thank you enough for all your support and all the support of the Yankees and the Yankee fans as well out there who have just done so much for Easter Seals. It's really kind of helped propel us in the last 10 years, you know, the issues around autism in particular. Easter Seals is the largest service provider for children with autism in the United States. And I'm lucky enough to be the executive director for New York and coastal Fairfield County. And we really do have a myriad of services. You know, I think when people think Easter Seals, if they're not thinking the old days and sort of polio and stuff, they tend to think about the schools and the little kids that we work with. And that's, you know, for me, that's always the most exciting as well. I mean, I think you captured it that night, listening to those kids sing. I always feel like we're in the miracle business. And I get to see these kids when they start in September and see them by graduation in June. And, you know, kids can't walk and suddenly walk. Kids that won't talk or suddenly verbal.
Yeah, it's just amazing. It's amazing, the transformation.
I mean, I just work with some of the most amazing and patient people. I remember walking into when I always try to make myself in the beginning of every school year, carve a day out and force myself to go into 2 or 3 of the schools just to remember, to remind myself exactly what these kids are like when they first come in quite often. I just remember sitting there up in a school in Monticello, New York one day, and there was a kid who had his head in a cubby, and he sat there and screamed for 4 hours. He
wow.
just sat there screaming, and there was this teacher just patting him on the back, just showing him this sort of love, and it's, you know, it's going to be okay, just relax, you're going to be good. And a kid by the end of the year running around, singing, dancing, playing, you know, interacting with other kids, verbal, just totally different change in behavior. And that's always just a wonderful thing. A lot of kids in the world, you know, the issue is it's resources, it's time, it's effort. And a lot of stuff is actually correctable. A lot of things mm-hmm. are possible to make these kids have fuller and happier and healthier lives and make it easier for their whole families. And I'm lucky enough to work for an organization that, you know, that's a big part of what we do. But, you know, we work with seniors who are unemployed, who are in 150% or less of the poverty line. And you know, it's always amazing. I say that 150% or less, and people always say, oh, well, what does that mean? That's less than $17,000 a year in New York City.
Yeah.
it's just amazing to think if you're living on less than $17,000 a year in New York City,
how are you even surviving? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Your issue is not you're unemployed. It's you probably don't know where you're sleeping that night or if you're going to be able to eat. So, you know, we're working with that population. We've got a wonderful school up in Rochester, New York. It's called the Kessler Center, and it's all these kids were just too difficult. And, you know, they're 8-year-olds to early teens to mid-teens, you know, a couple later teens now. And they were basically removed from the state. State said, we have no facility. We have nothing we can do. No one else, no other provider would take them. And some of them as far-flung as Texas, some in New Hampshire, sort of just all over the place. And we opened up this school. We worked really hard with the state ed and the Office of People with Developmental Disabilities. And we opened up a school and home. And there's sort of three pods with 8 folks in each of them. And they're matched by gender and roughly by age. And we were able to bring all these kids back into New York State. And back closer to their families, because you're a dad. Imagine if you had a kid who had a disability, and then on top of that, the kid's in Texas.
Yeah,
rips your family apart. Just
I can't even imagine.
Yeah, it's just gut wrenching stuff. So we were so lucky to be able to open up this school, and it's amazing once you get those kids back into a local community and back around their family. You know, that's better than almost any therapy in the world. Just the love of a community and the love of a family. And you kind of get them in there, and you know some of these kids were on some fairly heavy medications, and we try to always pare that down really quickly. It's just it's not our way of working. We're much more of a one-to-one physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, what we call ABA, sort of behavioral therapies, and really working with these kids and always trying to move them into more independence and more independence and more independence and. You know, sometimes we get really lucky and we get these kids, jobs and in the community, and they get to live, really meaningful and fulfilling lives. No matter where the kid is on the spectrum, it can always get better. It can always get better. It's just a matter of putting in the time and the love and the energy.
And, it's not just kids with disabilities. It's not just adults with disabilities or seniors as well. Now, something that I am so happy that Easter Seals is championing, the Operation Employ Veterans, working with military and veteran services, getting men and women back into, reestablishing themselves into civilian lives, getting them jobs, training them for these jobs, and keeping them in these jobs, especially, these soldiers who come back, these men and women, these brave men and women who come back with PTSD, and TBI, traumatic brain injury. I can't even tell you how much pride that comes out of me, knowing that I am dealing with the Easter Seals, and I'm on the New York board, and we're doing stuff like this. I mean, this is God's work, and especially the veterans. My grandfather served in World War II, and it's just something that's near and dear to my heart, and I thank you and Easter Seals nationally for getting something done in this area, John.
Well, it's an honor to serve in this capacity, and my dad also was a Korea War vet. I lived in the Middle East for about 8 years, and it was interesting living over there and sort of living in Israel and sort of being in a conflict zone for so many years. And but you see these young men and women, and it's so different than sort of what I experienced. People came home on the weekends and they saw their families, and you had sort of this normalized life. We ship these poor young men and women over, and they're brave and they're strong and they're true to America, and they put their life on the line every day, and they live in hell quite often. I mean, they just live isolated, and it's rough living. And then we plop them back in the U.S. and we say, oh, okay, we'll go get them. And it's wow. One minute I'm in Fallujah, and now I wake up and I'm back in New York City. And it's a tough transition. It's a tough transition. And Easter Seals really across the nation, but in New York now as well, that become one of the largest providers for vet services. And we're trying to focus on things that we do well and that we know how to do. We know TBI. It's something that we've always worked with. We've always worked in the field of sort of psych and disabilities. But we've also always worked, we were just talking about those seniors who were looking for jobs. we're in that field, so we know that. So we're now working with veterans. We have a big program we just opened up in Syracuse, along with actually Bank of New York Mellon, a local bank, and really kind of got that up and running and trying to get these folks. You know, we're focusing on those post 9/11 vets, and I just think it's so hard for those of us who haven't been over and living the lives that they live to understand the daily issues that they went through, and then how do you reacclimate to home life, to family? You know, you wake up and your wife's there, your kids are in the other room. And a lot of these guys just wake up homeless a couple weeks later, and it's just a really hard trail. And you know, they don't want to ask for help. These are soldiers, these are warriors, these are folks that have a really hard time sometimes reaching out for help. You know, we always say help is the hardest word to say in the English language, and it really is for a lot of folks. And it really is an honor for us to be in that world now and to be serving there. And we have our gala at the Intrepid this year, which is kind of cool with, you know, David Sutherland, Colonel David Sutherland, report directly to the Joint Chiefs. He's one of our big spokespeople. He's going to be there. We have a two-star general, Harry Miller, who works for us in Easter Seals, New York now as well. He's going to be down there. And, you know, we're just reaching out into that community, and our board members and folks like you, we're lucky to have these generous board members who – you know, really are willing to give up their time and their money and their energies and their efforts and everything to sort of help us do what no one else can do. Just because I believe we have the greatest board members and support network in the world, Chris.
Well, I appreciate that, John. I just wish I can do more and contribute more, but I do what I can. And just seeing the looks on the kids' faces at every gala, or if we go to a school and we see the kids there, just how they run around. You took me there once in the Bronx, how they run around, how they play, how they interact with one another after they've been at the school for a while. Like you said, you know, they start in September one way, and then when they graduate, it's an entire 180. And I could just only imagine how happy their parents are when they see this transformation of their children at the end of the school year. Now with the military and the work we're doing with the military, like I said before I asked you to describe it, it means a lot to me. It's near and dear to my heart. And I have some friends, too, that have been overseas. And when they come home, it's not the same. And, you know, I don't even think you could empathize. You could sympathize, but you can't empathize because you weren't there. You know, you weren't sleeping in a ditch that you dug in the desert while, you know, bullets were whizzing over your head. There's just no way to compare yourself to that and then come home and try to reacclimate yourself to society. It's got to be, you know, close to impossible to do that. And the fact that we are trying to help these men and women just speaks leaps and bounds about Easter Seals and what they're able to do, not only, like I said, with kids and adults with disabilities and senior citizens, but also now the military as well. Now, you brought up the gala, John. I just wanted you a little bit to – we have two events coming up. The gala is June 27th, as you said, on the Intrepid, and then we have the Walk With Me at Yankee Stadium on July 12th. First, just tell me about the gala. Can anybody attend? Who can go? And how can people help out with the gala and also the walk that's at Yankee Stadium on July 12th?
So, you know, the gala is a great event, but it's, you know, it's the Intrepid. It's a high-end event. Anyone can come, but they got to be able to write a pretty big check. It's like $750 bucks a seat just to – you know, to get a table, to get a seat at a table there. And it's, but there's going to be some amazing people. There's some very high-named rumored guests out there right now. I don't want to even say, but we've got some really high-ranking political folks who are going to be in there. But, you know, we're going to be recognizing some of our board members who are going to be there as well. And, you know, Colonel Sutherland's going to be there and a whole lot of military folks as well. It's a great day, great venue. I mean, the USS Intrepid, you know, weather permitting, drinks topside with a space shuttle. I don't know what's better than that. I mean, that's
goodness.
As good as it gets. So
see, I went to the website, and I thought the space shuttle portion was going to be closed. So if that's open, I'm going to be very happy. Because I've never been to the Intrepid before, so this is gonna be completely awesome.
So yeah, it's a great venue, and we're actually working on right now a screening for a movie that we're working on with some of our folks at Easter Seals National are working on called The Hornet's Nest. We may actually be doing a premiere that day as well, and I'll fill you in on that as we get closer. But
okay.
You know, I think the event is the easiest touch point for everyone to get involved. It's really our Walk With Me event over at Yankee Stadium. And the Yankees have just been such great friends to us over the years. And it's, you know, it's Friday, July 12th. They're going to trounce the Twins at that game. And it's 7:05. It's, you know, it's one of those great July summer in the city, you know, events. The, you know, the walks at, I think it starts at like 6 o'clock, but the game's at 7:05. And basically everyone who raises $175 for the walk gets a ticket. And then the top fundraisers for the walk get really cool stuff. Like they get, you know, potentially get legend seats, or they get to, I think there's an option with the Yes Network. I think you arranged something for us to do some tours as well. Is that correct?
We're working on that still, but I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Which would be awesome. I know how well that went over last year. People love that. And our top folks get on the field, which is, you know, anyone who's a Yankee fan, getting on the field
still,
and having your name.
When I go work and I'm on the field, I turn into a 12-year-old again. So, yeah, I get the feeling, absolutely.
Oh, I mean, that is just hearing your name called out. It is just the coolest thing in the world. So, I mean, there's a lot of fundraising opportunities, and it's just, you know, whoever raises the most money. But even if you only raise $175, you get a ticket, and you do a double that, get two tickets. Great family event, you know, great place to bring your kids, you know, face painting and clowns, and there's like massage therapists, and there's a short walk at a park right next to Yankee Stadium. It's just a lot of fun to do day up, and the Yankees really pull out all the stops, and we always have a lot of great things to do that night. It's just really a sea of Easter Seals fans in the audience, you know, people who all have their hearts in the right places, so it just
makes
for a really fun family day.
Now, John, you can go to EasterSeals.com to learn more about Easter Seals, but I have you on the phone. So how could, you know, someone like me 3 years ago who didn't really know what Easter Seals was, how could a person who's not involved get involved?
Well, there's a couple of ways. Actually, the best place to go is www.EasterSealsNY.org, which is a direct route to our local website. If you go to the .com, it'll route you back to us, but you can go directly to us. You can basically, there's a volunteer section there. You can see all the events. There's an email address where you can contact us. You know, we're there beyond what you can do for us. It's what we can do for you. You know, if you've got a young adult or a kid or a senior or a vet or someone struggling in your household, it doesn't have to be cognitive. It doesn't have to be developmental or emotional. If you got an issue and you're having a tough time, we're a good resource to reach out to. We're in a lot of different communities all across the state of New York, all the way from the western region up in Buffalo, all the way down to New York City. And, you know, give us a call, shoot us an email, and if we don't provide a service that can help you, we can often put you in touch with either a government resource or another community partner that we know or we've worked with in the past who can help you out. We should, you know, we always consider ourselves, we always get the call at the end. You know what it is, Chris? It's like when everyone's tried everyone else, you know, someone's grandma says, well, have you tried Easter Seals? And they pick up the phone and they call us. You don't have to wait to call us last. You can call us. We're there. We'll help. We'll do something. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes it's so down the road and people waited so long, it becomes more intractable, whatever those issues are. And if you want to donate, if you want to come out and you want to support the walk or you want to come to the gala, there's always a million things going on. If you want to come out and volunteer at one of our schools, lots of opportunities. And just contact us by going to our website. So it's a great way to kind of get in touch and find out what we're already doing in your neighborhood. You might think, oh, well, there's no Easter Seals in my neighborhood. You know, I live in Westchester. We've got four sites in Westchester. Orange County, Sullivan County, Monroe County. You know,
Stamford, Connecticut.
Stamford, Connecticut, yeah, you know, Long Island, you name it, we're probably there, you just don't know we are.
John, I really appreciate you coming on and shedding some light on what Easter Seals does today, but as we set this up last week, I promised to let you vent a little bit about your New York Jets, and we have 5 minutes left in the podcast, so I wanted you to use this as a sounding board for your beloved Gang Green, who hasn't won a Super Bowl since 1969.
We could talk about Mickey Rivers too, which happened to him at our event last year. Talk about being a 7-year-old again. I got to tell you, I was unfortunately born in 1971, Chris. Which means I was 2 years shy of the greatness of the Jets. And
Joe Willie.
Oh, every year they find a new way to break my heart. and it's amazing. And I don't want to buy into the dream, but every year I just, you know, they always just light that fire for me. And I go, oh, you know, this is it. This is the one I was hoping for. And you know what? It just never has been. It was when I was 20 and I said they'd never won in my lifetime. It was endearing. It was cute. You know what I mean? I am 40 now. It's not so cute anymore, Chris.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, you know, they bring in Tebow last year, and everybody scratches their head. Well, what the hell are they doing with Tebow? But he did win a playoff game with the Broncos, beat the Steelers in that overtime game. So maybe, you know, Tony Sperano in here, the king of the Wildcat, maybe he'll do something with it. Nothing.
Well, so let me ask you a question about the Tebow thing. I don't remember who it was, but I was watching on one of the Sunday shows on the
right.
NFL, and one of the guys who was a coach, and I don't remember who it was, he said, dumbest draft pick he ever saw in his life. He said, forget who Tebow is, forget how good he is. If you want to undermine the confidence of your quarterback, go to the well and put someone like that in under him. That, if nothing spooks a quarterback like doing that. Do you think
that's the other thing. I didn't really get that because Sanchez had enough. If you watched, and I brought this up a couple of podcasts ago, if you watched that Hard Knocks with the Jets on HBO, he's very self-deprecating. He makes fun of himself all the time. And an NFL quarterback should not carry himself like that. An NFL quarterback needs to have confidence. He needs to walk straight and tall and let the offense know that, hey, I've got this. And he just doesn't come across that way to me. And then bringing a guy in like Tebow, who has this circus that comes with him. If you remember Cortland last year where they have their training camp, it was a media circus. You know, the Giants are coming off a Super Bowl championship. And there's no one in Albany. Eli Manning, there was a story of Eli Manning. He said, I walked out of practice, and it's like a 150-yard walk to my car. And he said, I walked all the way out to my car, and I did one of those cartoon turns left and right and said, where is everybody? They're all in Cortland. You know, it's just amazing that they bring the guy in, and he does everything right. I don't mean to pick on Tebow. A lot of people, the guy's a winner. And Mike Francesa hit the nail on the head. If there was one guy wearing green last year who has championship-quality character, it's that kid. And he wasn't on the field. And even when there was a shot to put him in as a backup quarterback, he went to McElroy. You know,
yep.
And he didn't go. He didn't give Tebow a shot. He got hurt on a punt. They had him on punt coverage for crying out loud. And he, you know, after the season, he didn't really say anything during the season. He did what he was supposed to do. But after the season, you know, after the Jets cut him or waived him, he had something to say about that. And I don't blame him. You know, the kid wants to play, and you can't blame the kid for wanting to play. And wanting to do something positive. And I just hope he lands on his feet somewhere. I don't believe he's an NFL quarterback, but who on the Jets roster is it?
Well, no, I'm with you. And it's funny you say that about him, on the punt squad. But he's the kind of guy that he'll get off the bench and he'll do whatever you need him to do. You know, he was just one of those guys who love playing ball and wants to be on the field and do stuff. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it looks like I'm up for another heartbreak this year. And I guess you'd think after 41, only 42 seasons now, I would have learned. But that's not true. I'm going to be probably as dumb, as gullible as ever, and I'm going to...
Yeah, my best friend in the entire world is a Jets fan, so I know all about it. And when they went to the two back-to-back AFC Championship games, as a Giant fan, it's hard to root for the Jets, but I was pulling for them for him because he hasn't seen one either. He was born in 72.
Yeah,
so,
that's a killer.
Yeah, I get it. And we have like 30 seconds left, so I just want to thank you once again, John McGrath. John, of course, is the executive director of Easter Seals New York and Coastal Fairfield County, Connecticut. Thank you for coming on and spreading the word about what Easter Seals does and what it means to both of us. I can't thank you enough.
Chris, thank you for all you do as a board member and as just a great member of the community. I'm proud to call you a friend and have you as a board member. You're a hell of a guy, and thank you for everything.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it. That's John McGrath. We will see you next time here on the Off the Wall Podcast, live on Blog Talk Radio, and living the rest of the day at YesNetwork.com.